Little sneak peek there. Good morning. It's Monday, July 6th, 2026. You're watching The Program with Ted Rall and Jamarl Thomas. Thank you for joining us. It is 9 a.m. Eastern Time. We're here Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern Time. Hope you had a great Independence Day weekend. Jamarl, how are you doing?
I'm doing okay. How's it going, man? You doing all right?
I am doing okay, indeed. So let me just make sure I've got like no glitches here. Okay, cool. All right, so a lot to talk about. We saw the 250 festivities and celebrations. As usual, we're looking to answer your questions and comments over anything that we do or do not want to talk about, or do we want to talk about anything? So anything you want to talk about, please go ahead and chime in. We will be doing the Q&A show at 12 noon today because it's Monday. So yep. Don't forget that. Save your weird questions for that, maybe, or don't, whatever you want to do. It's free speech for now. All right. So we're going to be talking about a bunch of stuff. This socialism thing, Democratic socialists are doing really well in Democratic primaries. And so basically the Trump administration has decided to unveil to revive 1950s McCarthyism by calling anyone who's a Democrat a communist. God, I wish they were. anyway, we'll talk about whether that's effective or not. Tennessee National Guardsmen assigned by Trump to patrol the streets of Memphis have shot and killed a dude who was being pursued by local Memphis police, 20 years old. Is this going to turn into one of those, you know, infamous police shooting stories that become a national story? We're going to watch that. And then this is totally a JT special. So Washington Post reported exclusively over the weekend that the Iranians were warned secretly by the United States that Israel was planning to assassinate two of their top officials, gave them apparently some details about what the Israelis had planned, and basically was like the U.S. was so concerned that the Israelis would keep killing Iranian officials that they're trying to talk to and come to a deal with that they told the Iranians how to protect themselves. 92% of Israelis currently told a recent Times of Israel poll that Iran won the war. And so it's kind of like for right wingers who are here who say that they didn't, you're to the right of an apartheid fascist state. So you might want to think about where you stand there. And it looks like now this part is a Ted Rall special. It looks like now something that I had said might be happening. There's now some talk inside official Washington about trying to replace Israel with Iran as America's biggest ally in the Middle East. which I guess we were, that was the case until 1979. At least they were kind of like tied with Israel, I would say.
You mean with the Shah?
Under the Shah, yeah. You know, but the, you know, the thing is, Iran's going to have to step up their torture program to really cozy up to the United States. Otherwise, we're not going to be able to be friends. Anyway, we've got that all going on. We've also got a question that I saw in the chat, a very generous $20 donation. And this was about the FIFA story, right? So this is a crazy story. So top soccer player for the U.S. team was dinged with a foul. In soccer parlance, you get a red card or a yellow card. A red card means you're out of the next game. So there was concern on the part of the U.S. that this might hurt their chances of winning their next game against Belgium. So Trump called the head of FIFA and arranged to have that red card go away. And so now this dude is going to get to play. Crazy story. Anyway, what do you want to talk about first?
That's a farce. What a farce. Like, meaning, I don't even know why any other players would play under that condition. Serenity now. First of all, I have issue with those teams playing anyway, out of issues of solidarity of what they were doing to the Iranian team, because it's cheating the Iranian team. The idea that the Iranian team needs to go to Mexico for very basic things that people would necessarily do here is unfair to the team. If the team loses, there's no way to attribute it purely to the team itself, as opposed to the conditions that the team had to effectively function in. So there's that. And now you get just basically cheating. If I'm playing a game of Blitz, and Trump called the referee to say, hey, give that guy additional 15 seconds, that fundamentally changes the game. Like, that's not the game. Like, that's not the game. You've cheated. You've injected yourself into the game. And they're pretending as if the game is being on the level. It's not on the level because that guy wasn't supposed to be able to play in the next game. Like, that's outrageous. I felt like it's one thing for the U.S. to cheat around the edges. It's another thing for just directly cheating in the game itself, which, if that story is true, that is what took place. Trump injected himself into a game that he had nothing to do with that could affect the outcome of further games.
Right. So,
tell me I'm wrong. If you think I'm wrong, tell me.
No, look, first of all, I want to make sure I give proper credit to Sam Palmisano for this question, and really appreciate it. I think it's outrageous. And, you know, to me, it's like there's so many layers to this that smell bad. You know, first of all, it's the fact that this happened literally at the highest levels of the corridors of power. It's the fact that the FIFA president has been sucking up to Trump now for years in order to, you know, get Trump to cooperate with, you know, to make sure all the visas and everything got approved. And then Trump didn't really go along with any of it. It's the fact that, like, nothing like this apparently has happened since the 60s. It goes that far back. And I think maybe not last, but certainly not least to me, the fact that the U.S. is the host country means that we should be bending over backwards as Americans to make sure that the proceedings are incredibly fair. I mean, this is incredibly bad sportsmanship. I mean, you know, even Nazi Germany, you know, didn't put a rock in Jesse Owens' sneakers right. In 1936. I mean, they still let him run. You know, they didn't say, oh, you're going to have to, you know, you're going to have to commute back and forth to France every day in order to perform in the Olympic Games. It's shady. It's just a bad look. It's everything, you know, it's Trumpy, but it's also the fact, look, you always bring up the solidarity issue, Jamal, and you're right. I mean, the thing is, the only thing that could put a stop to this would be, like, let's say American soccer fans, even though they paid thousands of dollars for their tickets, decided to just not attend the game and the bleachers were empty. Or like for the other teams to just not show up. Also, frankly, look, it was a very rough foul for that player. Balogun, it wasn't on purpose. He basically came down on the foot of the other player in this game. He didn't try to fuck him up, but it's still a foul. It's a foul is a foul is a foul. Those are the rules of the game. He should have insisted, I don't want to play. Like, I got a red card fair and square. Now, obviously, the coach pressured him. The president of the United States personally interceded on your behalf. They talked him into it. The pressure is enormous. He shouldn't have done it. I mean, it's like, it takes so much cooperation for bullshit like this to go through from so many people. And that's, you know, the other teams, everything. Other players shouldn't, the other American players should have said, like, we don't want to play. It's not fair. It's not fair to the Belgians.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, like, it's just outrageous. Like, it, if that guy scores the winning goal for the next game.
Oof.
Can you imagine that? Like, the meaning, from my point of view, the other team
could happen. Play. He's a great player.
That could happen. I guess from my point of view, it's the other team that should say, I'm not playing. This is cheating. You, like, this is no longer a game. The entire premise and the point of the game is my talent comes, your talent comes, best man wins. Okay, well, that's not that. This is intrusion by the president of the United States to give the American team an advantage that you shouldn't have had. I don't care if, you know, the foul wasn't that bad or anything. It's irrelevant. If you're, I'm saying this from the standpoint of somebody who plays sports and chess, right? And who have played tournament chess for since. I know you're laughing at the whole sports and chess thing. I'm going to run with it.
I'm actually not. I think anybody, look, this is honestly, these are rules that, like, little kids know, right? This is one of those, like, everything I needed to know, I learned as in elementary school. In elementary school, we all learned, like, here, there is a set of rules for a game. Everybody abides by them. Everybody's held to account, whether it seems awkward or not. And that's how it works. And you don't, and the coach doesn't suck up to the, you know, doesn't pay off the ref or whatever. It's not cool.
Yeah. Imagine you're in NBA finals. And one of the one of your teammates gets fouled, and a mob boss who has money on the game contacts the coach, and or contacts the ref in order to get the guy back into the game, or in order to allow the player to continue. Like, it's stuff like that where anybody who looking at it was like, "Well, that's obviously cheating." Okay, it's obviously cheating. Like, I don't even know why this is a question. I don't even know how this could work in practice.
Yeah, well, I think about, like, you know, Superman, right? Truth, justice, and the American way. This is not the American way as I understand it, right? I mean, this is not fair play. This is like, you know, you take your lumps. I mean, and also, frankly, it all boils down to the FIFA president should not have accepted a phone call from the president of the United States at this time, period. You know, it's kind of like, have him leave a message with my secretary. I'll get back. If it's about a safety issue, I'll get back to you, you know?
Yep. I don't take issue with him taking a call. I take issue with him knuckling under and cheating other players in the game or the teams.
Ridiculous.
It's the cheating that's the issue. That's the cheating. And that's what it is. It's just cheating. If you had money on a soccer game, you may feel some kind of way if this guy gets allowed back into the game, when your chances would have been higher if he was out of the game. It changes the metrics and the percentages of the game in a way that is unfair to other teams. It's just outrageous.
Yeah, it's great.
I can't even believe that this gets a pass. Like, that's astonishing to me that this gets a pass.
Yeah, no, me too. And just, like, the fact that people are like, oh, well. I mean, look, I'm not going to watch the game. I don't watch sports. But I mean, it's embarrassing to me as an American. You know, I mean, it's just like, this is like, it's icky.
But I do think it's the American way. It's also, I don't care what the propaganda is. I think it's the American way. I mean, it's the rules-based order.
Everybody knows, right? Everybody knows the game is fixed. And you know, I mean, everybody's been there. You know, I mean, like, I remember going to a council meeting when I was a kid, opposing a developer's idea to tear down local woods and put in a strip mall. You know, all the city councilmen walk in, you know, they listen to the debate, but you can tell from their faces, they're not paying attention. They've gotten their envelope. The fix is in. It's going to go through. Fuck the community. Too much shit works like that. And sports really shouldn't.
Sports typically doesn't, I would argue.
Right.
I mean, like, there may be scandals where there are people betting on games and stuff like that, but for all intents and purposes, sports is supposedly an honest thing. I mean, and I'm saying this again, my perspective of this is chess. I couldn't imagine, like, when there are cheating scandals in chess, they are just outrageous. Like, they're huge. One guy, Vladimir Kramnik, just got suspended for a year. Vladimir Kramnik was world champion. He beat Kasparov. Kasparov was, there's no player that's better than Kasparov. Kramnik beat Kasparov. Kramnik just got sent packing for 1 year because he said that another guy in chess was cheating. Cheating is a big deal. It is an extremely big deal in chess. Which I couldn't foresee a situation where the president calls in and tells the ref to give a guy an extra minute in a blitz game.
No.
That's just unheard of. Like, I don't know how it would be accepted. And the idea that this is happening on an international stage with the world watching.
By the way, it's also another side, and we should move on. Because we have a lot to talk about. It's also really insulting to the other players, right? We can't win without that guy, right? I mean, you guys all suck ass. It's all about him.
Yep. And I think it's the rules-based order. I think that's what we're saying. We're just saying it in sports. We just don't usually see it in sports. We change the rules when we need to win. I mean, that's the whole economic thing, right? That's why we're so pissed off at China. Well, we went by these rules, and now you are using these rules to the betterment of you and these other countries, and we don't like that. So now we need to have a, quote, rules-based order. We need to change the rules when it's in our interest. Yeah, true. It sucks.
We do have some good news.
Let's hear.
We just broke, over here on Rumble, our monthly chat metrics. So huge shout-out to y'all. Thank y'all.
We hit our chat metrics within 8 days, 7 days?
Yeah, we just got it. So for those of you who are tuning in, Rumble, they changed the speaking of changing the rules, having a rules-based order, Rumble changed the rules from requiring a 30 unique chats to 75. And the reason why that's such a big deal is that is one of the requirements just to be in the Rumble Creator Program, which is how we get paid. So big shout to y'all. Thank y'all. We are there. It's all gravy from here. And one further request, because the chat is the one thing I have no control over. We can stream, we can make clips, we can make shorts. You know, we can play all that, but the one thing I cannot control is the chat. So if y'all please do us a favor on TMI.
President Trump call the president of Rumble and like just tell him like give us some extra chatter.
Yeah, just give us an exemption. That would be nice. I don't think we're quite that important though.
No.
But seriously though. I mean, if y'all would follow the TMI show, follow Putin Bike Gaming once a month, come drop an emoji, say hi, flip us off, whatever. It does not matter. We just need that chat metric because that's the one thing I cannot control. So if y'all would do that for me, be a huge shout out. And thank you again, Evan, for your help.
All right. Thank you, Robbie. All right. Let's get through some comments and we'll move on. I don't know. We can do whatever. Okay. So, John D. Cockefeller, doubtful. A guy getting schwacked by a national. Okay, we'll get to that. It was Nate Eaton. It was a red card because of where his foot landed, which caused the injury. If no injury, then probably just a regular foul. But players need to be protected from spikes out of hits. USA is playing clean. Sure, I agree. That was my take as well.
Yeah, I don't doubt it.
Ryan,
guess one thing is that's not really the point.
It's not the point. Ryan Newton, to TBF, it was a bad call, and Balogun shouldn't have gotten a red call for that foul. Perhaps.
That's irrelevant.
But that's true about a lot of things. And like, if that's going to be remedied, I would have no problem with it if the referees looked it over and said, you know, upon second thought, we looked it over and we were wrong and we're going to revoke that. But like the fact that that President Trump, who, you know, runs, who controls the second biggest nuclear arsenal in the world, picked up the phone and called the head of FIFA to get it fixed. That's a problem. Okay. Even if he's remedying an injustice, exile the Knights of Malta. Ted, we need a cartoon of the North American Order of Malta dominoes tumbling from Ottawa headquarters down through New York City, Washington, D.C., and out to Oakland, California, HQ. I'll take it under advisement. Maybe Bluth Funk, thanks for the $2. This is just a symbolic move to say that as Americans, we're special. Yeah, she's right. We can foul, destroy, beat, etc., and it doesn't matter. A small display to make the implicit explicit. Well said. Cheat meat for the base. That's really right.
Yeah, but...
Oh, Douglas Smothers wants to know, how do you cheat in chess? I was going to ask you that, too.
So, let's say if somebody is playing online, sometimes they would have an electrical device that allows them to get information from somebody else or from a computer or something like that. Mm. Like, so instead of you playing this person mano a mano, you're getting somehow cues from some kind of technical.
Sort of like George W. Bush during his presidential debate where he had like the squawk box talking to him.
Oh, did he? Oh, that's funny. Oh, yeah, sometimes they do that. Other times, if you're online, that's when it's ripe for cheating. Mm. Because there was one particular guy who they accused of cheating. And then I think they indicated that the guy did cheat. This was Magnus Carlsen playing the guy. And Magnus Carlsen was like, I'm not playing this guy. This guy's a known cheater. When you're playing online, they have to have, it's kind of like any other game online. You have the capacity to cheat just because people are not necessarily physically there with you as you're playing.
Right. There could be someone just like right now, right next to me, right over here, talking to me, right? Like that.
Exactly. Or there's a computer that is effectively feeding you information for when you play the game, that type of stuff. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, they even went so far as to, I think coffee is fair game. You could drink coffee, but other stuff. Like, chess is weird.
Oh my God, I'm not winning any chess games without coffee. Are you kidding?
Right. Yeah, coffee is normal.
Probably,
but no, the cheating thing is the big chess. It is a no-no. Oh, it is a no-no.
Wow. It is a no-no. No. Do you want to talk about this socialism thing? I mean, I thought it was interesting.
Yeah. And let me ask you, do you think that's even effective at this point?
That's the question I wanted to get to. So basically, everybody who's been following social media knows that the latest MAGA talking points that have been going out following the Mamdani-backed Democratic Socialist sweep in New York State and other states, right, in Denver area, et cetera, has been like they're communists. Trump said, on July 4th, you can't be a patriotic American and be communist. I would take major issue with that. But there's someone counted up the number of posts. So last week, there were 626 posts where right-wing influencers and top Republicans used the words communism or communist to smear Democrats. That was up from 439 a week before. So it's a 43% increase. Obviously, this is a talking point for them. So calling Democrats communists. Now, one really funny part is I looked into some of the victims of these. Their poll numbers went up as a reason after the Republican, because that makes them look a lot more interesting. There's really just in a recent race, I don't even remember where it was, but someone just dropped out who was like trying to thread the needle in the Democratic primary between a far left and a far right, a corporatist and a far left lane. And there was kind of like no space for that. I mean, yeah. I think the American people are not in the mood for milquetoast DNC corporatist crap. I'd like to say they never are, but that's not true. They have been. They just weren't in the mood for it. They were in the mood for it in 2012. They're just not in the mood for it now. They want they want real solutions, whether they're left wing or right wing. I think this is a fail for Republicans on a lot of levels, not least the fact that it's so old timey. I mean, you have a political class led by the president of the United States who are old, right? Like he's just turned 80. Mitch McConnell, all these guys, they're so old. And here you are dragging up shit. I'm 62. This shit was over like 10 years before I was born. Okay. This is from the early 50s. The Hollywood blacklist, like, oh, he's a commie. You can't, all that stuff. That shit isn't going to work now. I mean, especially young people, young voters, and they say under 30, but really under 40, they like socialism. They like Bernie Sanders. They like AOC. They like Mamdani. I think it makes them look old and out of touch. And I think it's ridiculous. It's embarrassing and cringy. I don't think it's going to work at all. I think it's going to shoot them in the, it's going to, you know, they're going to, it's going to have blowback.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't think this works. And I don't think it works for a particular reason, though. When Trump got in office, I think Trump has widened the political space. And what I mean by widening the political space, supposedly, when I was young, somebody like Trump couldn't have even gotten close to the presidency. Somebody like Joe Biden couldn't even get close to the presidency. Joe Biden ran like four times. And it was only when we got to the point of
speaking of cheating, right? Like Biden, you know, famously cribbed Neil Kinnock's old speech from the UK.
Yep. Plagiarism. He got caught with it. He even admitted to it, right? Mm-hmm. Like meaning somebody like Trump in the 80s wouldn't have gotten close to the office. And you found this kind of degradation in the political space. But I think part of the degradation in the political space is also a widening of what's possible in the political space. I think the center failed. I think people put their trust in people like Obama and Clinton and Bill Clinton, the Joe Bidens of the world, and for all intents and purposes, that failed. It didn't deliver on anything. And for all intents and purposes, it ended up giving you Trump.
That's the difference, right? Like Trumpism attempts to deliver, it fails in many respects, but it does big things. And, you know, like Mamdani's trying big things. But if they fail, they could fail. But like the thing with the centrists is they don't try anything.
They don't even try. Like it's not even like we try and lose. They just lose. Yeah. And they don't try. Meaning it's not like you're moving the ball forward. A Republican gets in and balls move backwards and you move the ball forward trying to get your agenda accomplished. I don't even know what the agenda is, let alone getting anything accomplished. And so I think when people are looking at people like Mamdani and the people that he's putting in, these are people who are effectively saying, this is what we want to do. You grade us by whether we accomplish it or not. This is what we want to do. Okay, that's not really the same as like Kamala Harris putting out a plan that nobody believes she even believes in, where you have no idea what Kamala Harris is going to do when she gets in office. Same thing with Joe Biden. The big thing that Joe Biden did was the $200 or the $300 for kids. But within a year, that was gone. That was like Social Security for people with children. Basically, we're going to take care of our kids. Okay, well, that's gone. So you can't even get basic things accomplished. I think people are looking for somebody who is outside of the typical political space, who at the very least believes in relatively larger things. And so I think you can get somebody, like, because otherwise Sanders didn't even believe in Sanders in the beginning. Like, meaning Sanders thought, I'll just push the political space to the left, not realizing, holy shit, I just caught fire.
Right.
I think the political space is widened, especially from the standpoint to the left. And I think calling people communists is just going to make people very comfortable with communists.
My only problem with it is it's giving Democrats more credit than they deserve for having, you know, actual ideals and ideas, which I don't think.
I don't think it works. I think for all intents and purposes, these people are just Democrats. They may be a tick to the left, but if you continuously call them communists and socialists, people are just going to get more familiar with the term communists and socialists. And if they're succeeding, then it doesn't matter what you call them.
Well, that's the thing too, right? Like people definitely, you know, they know it's, they're comfortable with socialism. I mean, it polls well now. And, you know, it's in some polls, there's a Gallup poll where they take a survey of how people feel about capitalism versus socialism. Socialism consistently polls popular with more popular than capitalism with at least 40% of the voters. That number's only increasing now. People know that communism and socialism are intertwined. They might be not really clear on the whole the goal of socialism is communism thing, or the, you know, the fact that there really has never been a communist country, or even a country that claimed to be a communist country, even though it has a communist party, but not a communist. So people might know the distinction. But if you're okay with socialism and you know that communism goes with it, you're probably not going to be that upset about communism the way that so many people were in the 1970s. I mean, the Cold War is fucking over. I do wonder if they focus grouped or polled this internally and they think that it's going to work.
It just seems to be the Republican go-to. They seem to be stuck in this thing that this works. Oh, we just call everybody a communist and socialist. I mean, the catch becomes, do these people run from it, or do they stand their ground and deal? Like, meaning when it, like, for example, when the Israel issue come up, from my point of view, you go through that. You don't run from that. You go through it. And I get the sense for the socialism thing. Also, you run through it. If you chase, right. If you run, they'll chase you.
Yeah, you need sort of a variation of FDR's famous speech where, you know, I welcome their hatred.
Yeah.
You need that kind of thing where it's like, oh, if being a socialist means that, you know, I care about a young mother raising an only child who can't afford health care for that kid, then I'm a socialist, you know, like that kind of vibe.
Yeah.
Then, you know, but anyway, okay, Sam Palmisano, thanks again for $50. They used Article 27 previously with Ronaldo to allow him to play. The red card shouldn't have been given after VAR review. That's the video. They did slow-mo review. Yellow Max, the purpose of Article 27, so that FIFA has a check on corrupt referees. This ref already had allegations about cheating previously. But Trump called
that. It doesn't matter. I don't know why they think that matters.
Trump.
Like, they are bad calls. Like, if you're playing basketball and Michael Jordan fouls someone and they take Michael Jordan out because that's six fouls, it doesn't matter if it was a bad call. He still is taken out. And if somebody called, the president said, hey, bring Jordan back in because we don't like that call, and they bring Jordan back in the game, then that's outrageous. It doesn't matter if the call is bad. The call is the call. It's the point that the president intervened. That's the issue.
Even if the president was right, that's not the point.
That's not the point. Yeah. He could be perfectly right. The call. I will accept that the call was bad.
Sure.
I would accept it. Fair enough. But the ref made the call. The idea that an external party calls and says, hey, put the guy back in the game is insane. I don't know why you got.
I agree with that. Sam Palmisano, thanks already for another $10. FIFA is already corrupt to have Article 27, which manipulates and defers suspensions for high-profile players. You can't blame Trump for using the rules that already exist. He's just speaking up for us, in my opinion.
Are you serious? Thank you for the donation. I think you're out of your mind. Thank you for the donation. You're out of your mind. It's a sport. The entire sport is not about who wins.
And we're the host country on top of that. We shouldn't be whinging.
Yeah, and there's that. We're the host country. And it's like, hey, we want to win this game, so put that guy back in.
It's bad, right? I mean, it's bad. This is like, I mean, if memory serves, right, the famous U.S. hockey team that upset the Soviets in the 1980 Olympics, right? I mean, that happened in Russia, right? Brezhnev didn't fuck with the American team. You know what I mean?
It's like, can you imagine some shit like that? It's like, take that guy out.
Cap that fucker. John D. Cockefeller, thanks for the $5. We don't need a new wave of McCarthyism. We need a wave of Masseyism, Thomas Massey, rooting out connections to Epstein and AIPAC. Well, Masseyism seems to be currently not ascendant, right, to say the least.
Right.
We'll see what happens. I mean, there's obviously civil wars in both major political parties. I think we're on the same page about this. We'll see what happens.
I'm shocked that the audience cares so much about this, to be honest. I didn't know they were paying.
It's interesting. Yeah, it's cool. I'm glad that, you know, it's like it's good to stretch out sometimes because we can develop assumptions about what people want to talk about and be wrong.
True.
So that's
I struggle with that myself.
But like, President Trump called Robbie and told him that we should change what we're talking about today. So we're President Trump calling everybody. You know, he's going to call and change
all over the place.
Anytime you're at a bar, he'll call your bartender and change your order. And be like, you know, he doesn't want that IPA. You know, he wants a scotch.
In fairness, I would not have taken his phone call.
Really?
I'm sorry, I'm busy. I mean, the guy's a genocidal traitor.
Well, there's
who
that.
Has stabbed his country in the back and is doing everything he possibly can to destroy what's left, the remnants of the Republic. I have no time for that. Like, life is short. I don't have time for him.
Doing his best to help the American team win. So all is good.
I mean, I'm such a curious person. I just couldn't help. My curiosity would get the better of me. Like, what the fuck does he want?
Same here. I'd be curious about the phone call. Like, really? Is this Trump?
Yeah. I mean, you just have to be. Who is the most famous person who's ever called you? Does it come to mind?
Ever called me?
Yeah.
Like Jesse Jackson, maybe?
Jesse Jackson?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, for me, it was George McGovern.
Really?
He wrote the intro to one of my books, and he called me to say to talk about it. I was like, "What?" And it came up on my caller ID. My caller ID, McGovern, George. I'm like, "What?
Holy shit!" Yeah. No, for me, it was on the radio show. Jesse Jackson called in because he wanted to try to free the basketball player that was in Russia, and I suppose he thought calling onto Sputnik would be a way to
get to the ear.
Yeah,
Brittany Griner.
Yeah, it's a wild conversation.
That's very cool. Very cool. For radio show, I had David Duke on my show. Oof.
Did you?
He was fascinating, actually. He was genuinely dangerous in that he was charming, smart, funny. I was like, if this guy got oxygen, he could get popular.
Wow.
I mean, I think he was just ahead of his time, you know? As we saw, oh, by the way, should we talk a little bit about that? The America 250. So did you see the Patriot Front march, less right, far right wing militia, paramilitary militia group march through Washington, D.C.? There was a photo that probably is going to end up a contender for the Pulitzer this year of a young black lady on the metro in D.C., and she's surrounded by these Patriot Front guys riding. They're not threatening her or talking to her, but they're all like surrounding her, like hanging from the straps and stuff in that car. And she's got that look, you know, that flat affect urban look that we all know from living, riding subways in cities where you're just like, I don't see anything. I'm not here. You know,
yeah.
I'm not engaging. But, you know, it's an amazing picture. And on right-wing media, they're saying, oh, that's the Southern Law Poverty Center. Like, it's Soros. It's fake. There's no real Patriot Front. It's all, you know, guys, come on, really. I mean, there really are far-right, like, quasi-neo-Nazi organizations in the United States. I mean, there are.
I mean, they may forget. I don't forget this. When Donald Trump was giving his speech about how he was being cheated and there was fraud and everything else, the militia that was standing outside of Virginia, or that was standing in Virginia waiting for Donald Trump to give some kind of call sign where they were going to get their weapons and apparently do something, that was a militia. That actually did happen. Dude did get prosecuted. Mm-hmm. And they were staying in Virginia with the weapons because they couldn't necessarily bring them in D.C. legally. Like, they were waiting for the call to start the revolution. These people exist.
As Trump said, stand by to the problem.
Stand by. Yeah. So I don't know what they're talking about. I mean, it doesn't shock me.
It's embarrassing. I mean, it's just like they're trying to just lie away this thing. It's very simple. All they have to say is like, yeah, you know, real white right wingers are not a bunch of psychotic mask wearing racists. The end.
Right.
It's not complicated.
Yeah, so, they don't do that. They just say it's Antifa. It's Antifa.
So it's Antifa. I actually knew Stuart Rhodes. I went to church with him.
Did you?
Yes. He's who you're talking about. So he was the leader of Oath Keepers back at my previous church. He would go there occasionally, and he was, you know, all about the grift and stuff. I also knew Randy Weaver. He lived here in Kalispell.
Now, which one is Randy Weaver? I know Stuart Rhodes.
Randy Weaver was the guy who the FBI over at Ruby Ridge. They murdered his wife. They murdered his son. Basically what they did
is Ruby Ridge, right?
Ruby Ridge.
Yeah,
they entrapped him. So this FBI dude wanted a sawed-off shotgun. Paid Randy Weaver to make him a sawed-off shotgun. So he did a classic case of entrapment. Did it.
Right.
Then they executed his family for it. So, I mean, it was just... But where I'm going
to does that shit all the time.
It's a weird Janet Reno era
Michigan thing where it's like they talked, like most of the people were FBI agents.
Yeah.
A few of the people were involved, but it's usually like you're prodding and prodding and prodding. And it's like, okay, would the person do that if the FBI wasn't prodding the guy to behave that way?
Yeah, it's manufactured. And I guess the point that I'm trying to make is that our right wingers real? Yeah, sure. Y'all are talking to one. I mean, we obviously exist. That being said, anyone who thinks that a right wing militia is going to dress up with pantyhose over your face and walk down the National Mall in Washington, D.C. and not be infiltrated out the wazoo by the feds. I don't know what y'all are drinking over the weekend. Whatever it is, please share.
Any extremist because that infiltrated by the feds, left or right.
That's the point that I'm making. This is AstroTurf. What this is...
No, it's not AstroTurf. It's a real organization. And it's might be agents provocateurs. But those are 300 dudes, of whom 294 are definitely loving it.
I think that you could probably make a solid case that maybe 40 or 50% of them are feds.
You think 50% of the 300 people who were there were feds?
It would not surprise me.
The only reason they're wearing masks is because their IQ is not as small as their racism. They know that they'll be doxxed, right? And I'm the first to say, like, even if you're a fucking racist shitheel, you shouldn't be doxxed and lose your job and all that shit. You're entitled to your racist bullshit.
You're missing the point. I think that what this is now go away because you have a show to do. The way that the current system stays in power is by convincing everyone that the other person is a monster and that you need to be protected from that person, whether it's the communist or the right winger.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
That's how the oligarchs stay in power. Y'all give these people way too much credit for being honest when every single day they show us that they're anything but. That's the point that I'm making. This is a scam. What this is Trump calling out no commies is trying to scare people like me and think, oh my God, I need the feds to protect me from those evil red commies. And then they immediately then have these people wearing pantyhose walking down D.C. saying, you know, we're going to make America white again.
Hot as balls. They must have been dying.
To try and get people on y'all's end of the spectrum, say, oh, I got to have someone to protect me from those crazy whiteys like Robbie. This is all a scam. It's a joke.
Robbie, you're walking with pantyhose on your head.
Look at the photos. I mean, you're seeing their faces. I don't know what the hell they're wearing. It looks like pantyhose. Whatever. The point is that it's retarded. And the whole thing is a scam. It's a joke. We have bigger problems than this.
Oh, that's all true. I just take issue with the idea that these are all like half of them are close to half of them are.
Listen, I don't know how many of them are, but the thing is though.
Nor do I.
But the thing is, like, we know the January 6th stuff. There were an awful lot of agent provocateurs in there. We know that every time that the public has got together, whether it's Charlottesville or Unite the Right or Wall Street,
the ISIS kidnap plot, all that shit is like, yeah, it's.
I mean, that's what this is. That is what this is.
Yeah. No. All right. Well, we'll someday we'll know the truth, as the Dead Kennedys always say. Just a reminder, 12 noon in 2 hours and 15 minutes, we'll be doing the Q&A show here. All right, let's get into a few more comments. Frank Friel, thanks for the $5. Do you know anything about popular democracy? I just got a call for a protest march in Washington, D.C. on the 9th. They offered a free bus ticket and everything. So I guess that would be Thursday. I don't know. I don't know anything about it.
Never heard of it.
Don't know. P.W. Walker, thanks for the dollar. The feds have to create the problems to protect the people from. That ensures future budgets and paychecks in a failing economy.
Agreed. I mean, they do seem to make the threats that they are, you know, claiming to squash. So.
Threats. Let's talk about threats. So I love this story. So if you don't think there's daylight between the U.S. and Israel, here's a story, right? The Washington Post and the
New York
Times are reporting that the Israelis, we know early on in their war against Iran, were attacking top Iranian officials, of course, not least the Supreme Leader, whose funeral is going on right now, like they were going out of style. And it even got to the point where Trump publicly complained that there was getting to be no one to talk to because Israel was killing so many top officials just as talks were going on. finally, it occurred to the U.S. Hey, wait a minute. We asked the Israelis to stop doing this, and they're not. So they finally decided to go around the Israelis, their close partners in the Middle East, contact the Iranians indirectly through intermediaries, a number of them, and say, please tell your Iranian friends, this is what the Israelis have planned. Take steps to protect your guys so that we can continue to talk to them. That obviously also was a goodwill gesture to the Iranians. They had to have taken it that way. To me, that says a lot. I mean, to me, it says that the Trump administration does not trust Israel at all. That they don't, they recognize that there's a lot of daylight between their interests of the two countries, and they recognize that they can find Iran to be more reasonable than Israel sometimes. That's a huge story to me. And now there's all this talk about like how. See, I guess my thing is, I'm going to go out on a limb here. I think the U.S. would love to kick Israel to the curb or back burner them and have Iran become their new bestie in the Middle East. Because after all, Iran is bigger, more important, has more natural resources, is more influential than Israel. It has a lot going on for it. The question is, will Iran be interested in this relationship, given everything that's gone on? I would say if I were Iran, I would not be interested in this relationship. But or I'd be very, very, my request for a dowry would be immense. I mean, already we put $300 billion down payment, but there would need to be more coming where that came from. I don't know. What do you mean? Am I making too much out of this?
Yes, you are. Talk about a limb. Whew, you are on a limb.
I'm out on a limb of a limb of a limb.
Yeah, I think you're out of a limb of a limb of a limb on this one. So I don't. Okay, that's assuming that I accept the story for what it is. That may mm-hmm. be true. Mm-hmm. Let's be aware, though. Israel, the reason that we back Israel is because it allows us to break up the Middle East with effectively our proxy. Mm-hmm. Meaning that is our objective. That is our want. We want to break up these Middle Eastern nations. We don't want a new Ottoman Empire. We don't want a power in this area. We want to break these up with Israel being the hegemon in the region, which is the entire point of taking down all of those Middle Eastern countries. We want to reshape the Middle East based upon American might. And we want to have our proxies and our puppet governments that are the Gulf states, with Israel being the lead. I don't believe for a moment that the United States wants to switch teams with Iran. And I don't believe for a moment that there's enough, let's say, assets in the U.S. government, meaning the blob of sorts, that wants to make that changeover. I don't buy it. Iran hates the U.S. And just because we're having negotiations with them doesn't mean that they don't hate us. We're just a hegemon, and they have to deal with us whether they hate us or not. The people that are out there protesting at the funeral who are wearing red, they're calling for Donald Trump's head. The idea that the leadership in Iran or the IRGC would accept this is nonsense. The Soleimani murdered, the supreme leader murdered, the people that were around the supreme leader murdered, Pezeshkian injured, and his son, I can't pronounce his name, Mataba or something like that, injured at the point where they murdered his dad. I don't get the sense that this is going to be a country that is going to be amenable to U.S. interests, either way you look at it, especially with Donald Trump saying that they're basically primitives. So I get the story. It may be true. It may be a situation where the U.S. was like, God, man, we're in a fix right now. We can't afford to have them murder Araghchi and I forget the parliamentarian's name. I'm not going to try to pronounce it.
Galibaf.
Galibaf, that's it. Thank you. Yeah, if you murder both of them, what does it do going forward? Okay, well, the U.S., I don't know if you heard Vance. Vance recently, I got the clip of him, but Vance made the point of saying we needed to get the strait open to get oil supplies out. Effectively, we were in a fix. And then we could reevaluate whether or not we want to resume attacks. This was never taken honestly. Israel is not leaving Lebanon, at least not until they're forced out. And the agreement that Iran made with the U.S. was effectively dead on arrival the moment that the U.S. tried to carve off southern Lebanon from Lebanon. I'm saying none of this stuff is indicative of the U.S. fulfilling the obligations of MOU. According to Vance, they just needed oil to flow because our economy was going to hit the skids, and Trump knew it. So maybe this is true. And maybe it is true because if this happens, the strike closes entirely again. Mm-hmm. Not to mention strikes, in which case it damages Donald Trump's economic positioning just before the midterms. But it could be right. I'm not saying it's wrong. It could be right. Be like, please,
It seems to be well as well sourced as anything is from mainstream media these days.
Yeah. And by the way, like I said, I accept it. It could be true. We need that straight open. And if they're going to go and kill the negotiators, well, we have no idea what they're going to do in response. I mean, obviously, airstrikes, they're going to hit Israel hard. The U.S. is going to have to get involved. The strait continues to be closed. The economy takes a hit. Like, it's a whirlwind.
Yeah, it is. It is. I think for sure it's safe to say that the warning happened. It's certainly the kind of thing the U.S. would do.
It's like, hey, heads up. They're going to try to kill Arafat.
Yeah. I don't know how the Israelis would have taken it. I think they must have been really pissed off.
They were already pissed off at Vance because they thought Vance sold them out or told some kind of plan or something that they had been doing. They were already pissed off at Vance.
Well, I mean, that's the thing, right? I mean, so if Trump croaked and Vance becomes president, what happens? I mean, Vance is not Team Israel here in the way that Trump is. But
what happens? I think the same policy continues. I don't think because I don't think it's about the president in this case. I think this is U.S. policy.
Right, right. Now, that's the safe call. I would agree with you on that. So we got to talk about this thing in Memphis. And get ahead of it. So here's the thing. We're unfortunately in this country, we're really used to these, crazy white cops and sometimes crazy black cops killing usually young black guys. And usually they overstate the threat, if any, that they presented. Right. It's not always like that. Starting over a year ago, we saw Renee Good Alex Preddy in Minneapolis, both very white people being, offed by ICE. But here, this looks more traditional. But the wrinkle here is that this is in Memphis. Memphis PD was being assisted by Tennessee National Guardsmen who were assigned, and people kind of forgot about this story, but assigned by Trump to patrol the streets of American cities, supposedly against crime. Obviously, we don't know what happened here. It might have been a legitimate shooting to the extent that these things are legitimate. But, video will surface, no doubt. And then we'll know the truth. But I guess this is just, to me, this is kind of like the FIFA story. Tennessee National Guardsmen are not trained for police work. They shouldn't, even if it's a justified shooting, they shouldn't have been in a position to shoot anyone. I mean, they shouldn't have been there. They just shouldn't have been there. I would say that, as fucked up as Memphis's cops are, I would trust them more than National Guardsmen to know how to do, street policing.
Yeah. Well, why not leave the policing to the police department? Is that right? It's like, is the police department really that bad off where they require the military to join in on the police work?
No.
And there's a difference between policing and the military. And that difference is not minor. That is a major difference. Like, meaning one is designed to kill the enemy, the other one is designed to maintain order. There's a difference in those things, and there's a reason why we call one police and one military. That's not insignificant. Like, that's not a minor distinction. That distinction matters. Sure, our police is fucked up, and sure, they're overly militarized, but they are at the very least trained in policing in a way that the military is not. Which is why the military is not supposed to be there. Like, meaning we send our military over to kill the enemy. The American public is not the enemy. And if the American public is the enemy, then something is inherently wrong for that to be true. This is weird. So that should never happen.
We're in what I would call a pre-riot situation. There may not be any unrest. It may all turn out to blow over. That happens a lot. But in this case, if video surfaces of Tyron Johnson and the moments leading up to his death, And that narrative is not what the police say it is. Then
all hell's going to break loose.
All hell's going to break loose. It's fucking Tennessee in July. It's hot as balls. You know, I mean, people are going to be upset, and rightly so. And, you know, I guess I look at this sort of, I look ahead and I look back to where we are now. Wouldn't it be smarter to say, we don't really know what happened. We're looking into it. We're going to investigate and get back to you, as opposed to he turned around and pointed his gun at the cops. They were completely justified. The National Guardsmen had to do it. Even if that's true, wouldn't it be better to say, we're really going to double, triple, quadruple check at this stage before we, you know, automatically blame the victim? Which is, and then if that turns out not to be true, that's what really pisses people off.
That story better be true.
I mean, look, true.
I give cops
so often not true.
That's the issue, right? It's like, oh, his big black arms intimidated me and so forth. And that's what I thought happened. And I was just terrified. I was just terrified.
He pulled his gun. Like, which, oh, he was showing his wallet. Oh, right.
Yeah, right. Or the guy goes for his wallet. It's like, I had literally seen cops ask for a person, give me your license. And when they reach for the license, they shoot him, saying, well, I thought you were going for a gun. And it's like, you asked me to get my license. Are you serious right now?
Yeah.
So, you know, if I am being brutal here.
Amadou Diallo in the Bronx, famously. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just outrageous. I mean, I've seen him shoot kids based on calls saying, hey, we saw a kid walking with a gun and the cop pulls up within a few seconds, murders the kid. It's a kid. It's a toy gun. It's not a real gun. And yet they put a bullet in him.
Yeah. So, Tamir Rice was what? 9 or 10 Tamir years Rice. Old?
He was. Yes, he was.
The cop zooms up, caps him like 10 seconds after arrival. Really? You couldn't drive up slowly and just be like, hey, kid, put down your gun.
Right. Really? Get some indication of what the fuck is happening right now.
Yeah.
If the cop shot him, if the guy turned around and tried to shoot the cop and a cop shot him, fair game.
Sure.
I'm not going to be brutal to a cop if indeed the cop's life was at stake.
They lie too much.
But they lie too much. It's that part. And they would defend their lives. Meaning you would get the police bureau or whatever they call it, the police union to back up whatever happens. Whatever happens. So we'll see. I mean, the video, as you point out, will come out at some point. But I don't take their word for it in the least.
Yeah, because after all, where's that body cam? That body cam footage.
That's just it. He's military. He might not require it.
But he was with Memphis police. So,
well, you would think the cops had it.
Right.
He may not be required to have it.
Yeah, it's so funny how that body cam footage always sort of it disappears sometimes. Yeah.
Yeah. It takes forever to show up.
Yeah, it really does. Yeah. It's like, where is that? Oh, it's in the cloud. It's in the cloud, downloading. You know how it is. You get that slow connection. You're waiting for it. Big, you know, high resolution video. These things take months sometimes, maybe a year.
Yeah. It takes time to figure out the truth.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Well, it takes time for us to figure out what we're going to say the truth is, right? Anyway, guys, thanks everyone for tuning in. We'll be back tomorrow at 9 a.m. Eastern time, as we are, and we'll be here all week. Coming up in a couple of hours, we'll be doing the Q&A show with Jamal and myself and Robbie. If you have any questions for any one, two, or all three of us, or I don't know, for Clovis, just go ahead and pipe it in at that time, 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern time. Coming right up, TMI show with Manila Chan and yours truly. Coming up, I'm trying to think about anything else. No, I think that's all the record, all the housekeeping I've got to do. Jamal, always a pleasure. See you in a couple hours. Bye.
Tell Manila said hi. Bye-bye.
Oh, I will. Bye.
Please pop in and chat.
Chat.
Chat on TMI. Bye. Need those chats. Chat. Ooh. You too, JT. Come over and chat. I'm calling you out.